Hey everybody, I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, and this is your Right Angle Lightning Round. Now, if you're new to this concept, usually on Right Angle, we go deep into one topic and we've kind of hashed it out beforehand in our backstage episode that only our paying members have the privilege of viewing. In a lightning round, I select headlines seemingly at random, but actually with malice in my black little heart, and spring them unawares upon Bill and Scott to get their very hottest and freshest takes. So, without further ado, let's see. Scott, according to my notes, we're starting with you this week. Biden, COVID task member and University of Pennsylvania professor Ezekiel Emanuel, questions benefits of vaccines for people over 75 and said that really life isn't worth living over 75. COVID was pretty much tailor-made for this guy, wasn't it?
Take the pill. Yeah, that's... I think I remembered hearing that somewhere in the past.
Yeah, back during the Obamacare run-up.
Well, and that's interesting. I mean, I'm being facetious about that, although not entirely, because I'm actually quoting, I believe it was the former president of the United States himself. But when you get government, especially the federal government, heavily involved in the healthcare system with all the political and financial pressures that bear upon government, then you do start having conversations like, is this life worth saving? It's a natural byproduct of having that coordinated at the national level. So the further away from the individual you get, the more likely you're going to get an impersonal decision that is more based on allocation of resources than it is on the value of the individual human life. It's one of the reasons why I'm a conservative, why I'm a constitutionalist, a Republican, small r, as it were, a federalist, because I believe that the closer you get the decision-making power to the individual, not only are you more likely to get decisions that are amenable to that individual himself, but in the aggregate, you're going to get decisions that work out to be better as a whole because you've eliminated that single point of failure. And Ezekiel Emanuel is proving that he is the leading candidate for being that single point of failure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole other thing that I'm not going to get into. Instead, I'm just going to go straight to Bill before I lose my voice entirely. Bill, Sam Stein, a progressive reporter for various major publications, he had the gall to tweet this out. I think it was on Monday. According to Biden campaign metrics, online chatter about the Hunter Biden story during the elections last week was greater than it was around Hillary's email during the last month of the 2016 election. The difference, he tweeted, it never spilled over into the mainstream outlets. How is this a mystery to someone like Sam Stein who helped to bury the corpse?
Those of you with those point and click thermometers may want to use them on the screen now and watch the temperature of my forehead exceed 160 degrees Fahrenheit. You can sum up the last 4 years, the last two election cycles in this fashion. In 2016, everybody was sure Hillary was going to win. The American people got up on their hind legs and defied the will of our elites. And once the year went by that took them to understand that it had actually happened, they spent the last 3 years saying that this will never happen again. We will never allow the American people to see information that could compromise the Democratic candidate for the election. That's why Twitter didn't, that's why Twitter actively blocked you from sharing it with your friends. That's why they put warnings on everything that's got a conservative take on it. That's why the New York Times didn't cover a story, even though there's hard physical evidence, there's an actual honest to God hard drive in a place in a room that can be verified. Not a story. Okay. And the worst of it, couldn't get any worse, is that I saw a survey recently that said that significant numbers of Democrats, something 30-40% or something, said once they heard the story, it would have affected how they voted, but they voted early. So yes, this is a stolen election. It doesn't matter how many false ballots you manufacture, it's a stolen election. And by happy coincidence, that's going to be part two of my stolen election firewall series, is the big tech series. It's going to be called, particular episode is going to be called Stoners and Reptiles.
Steve, can I throw in something that I just read before we came to record this episode. Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg appeared before a Senate panel as we on the day that we're recording this, and were specifically asked about that question. And Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, said that the reason why the New York Post story was initially blocked about the Hunter Biden laptop scandal is because it was thought that the evidence in that story was acquired illegally, and according to their terms of service, they don't spread information that's been illegally acquired. And then he said that same day when they discovered that it wasn't necessarily acquired illegally, they went to the New York Post and they said, what you need to do in order to get this out again is you need to delete your original post and then repost it. Apparently the New York Post, according to Jack Dorsey, resisted that notion and just wanted them to let the original post go through, which Dorsey said at that time, Twitter didn't really have a way of making that happen. They have since revised their policies and could do it now, but they said at that time that that was the justification for what they did.
Yeah.
And as Ted Cruz pointed out when he questioned Trevor Bin Laden, he basically said, so what you're saying is so long as the New York Post takes a knee to Twitter, then you will consider restoring their ability to communicate freely. Do I understand that correctly? God bless him. The beard has done a lot for that man.
It really,
but
really.
A beard doesn't do a lot for everybody.
Beard makes the man.
All right. Scott, we're going to you next. California set to reopen strip clubs before churches. San Diego Superior Court Judge Joel Wolfiel ordered the state to end any actions that prevent the clubs from, quote, being allowed to provide live adult entertainment, according to his decision. The owners of two strip clubs argue that their business is legally protected speech guaranteed by the First Amendment, which Scott, as a amateur's scholar of the Constitution. Obvious. It was indeed strip clubs that the founders had in mind when they wrote the First Amendment in the secret invisible penumbra, and not the actual explicit wording that freedom of worship would. No, am I?
Now,
am
when
I wrong?
You originally said open strip clubs before church, I thought, well, we used to go to Sunday school before church.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? Okay, so those are two separate notions.
Two separate things.
I don't know when that story came out, but I just heard that California is among the states that is going back to tighter controls because of the spike in COVID-19 positive tests. So maybe these strippers will have to put it back on again.
In tests.
What's that?
We're conducting more tests and we're seeing more cases of COVID-19. Lock everything down.
That's right. So, yeah, I think that there's somebody, I guess I should say this. I'm glad to hear that there's anybody in the state of California that is making an argument based on a constitutionally guaranteed liberty. So even if they're mistaken, even if they're kind of focusing it on one area but not broadly applying it to other areas, it's just encouraging that somebody may have seen a copy of the Constitution and may have thought that it actually is relevant to modern life.
Indeed, a refreshing change. And also, I've got plenty of ones on me, so I'm ready to go. Bill, Antifa.
Swipe the card.
And I'm gonna keep saying it that way, because it's anti-fascist, Antifa. Lost control of my segment again. All right, I'm just gonna give Bill a moment.
No, I'm back. I'm back.
Are you
I'm
sure?
I was thinking about a joke I heard when I was 11.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
go ahead.
We all do. Antifa vandalized Portland cleaning business was the headline. The lead says after announcing a gathering at Colonel Summers Park in southeast Portland, Antifa marched to the Rapid Response BioClean business and smashed up the office. They sprayed graffiti around the property as well. The business has a contract with the city of Portland to clean biohazards at homeless encampments. Antifa want the cleaning to stop. So, Bill, is it fair to conclude that what they're not so much anti-fascist as they are pro-filth and infectious disease?
Well, first of all, I'm not entirely sure why they were having this meeting at Colonel Sanders Park. That doesn't seem to be the kind of thing that you would want. You'd think private property would mean something to these people. And Colonel Sanders, as we know, is an American institution. As far as the rest of it goes, of course they want, of course they don't want people cleaning up toxic waste sites. That's imperialism, and that's, and it's also capitalism and racism too. And we'll think of something else by sunset, I guarantee you. It is antiseptic supremacy, and it is the imposition of other people's codes of hygiene upon people who have long been oppressed and have no voice in politics. And essentially, what it means is that Antifa is in fact a filthy bunch of godless vermin.
Well said. Very well said.
I miss the dirty hippies of the past. I'm glad they're back.
All right. Last one is for me. Daily Wire reports that Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin, has told Trump it will cost you $7.9 million for a recount. The Wisconsin recount for Green Party's Jill Stein in 2016 cost roughly $2 million.
But where can I contribute?
Yeah, it's a seller's market, I suppose, up there in Wisconsin, the progressive hub of American politics. Folks, there's something going on here that's, I think, more sinister than just the theft of a single election. And it's the blatancy of the theft.
Yes.
There are two things going on here, I think. One of them is they're not even bothering to hide it in the way of saying, you know what? Not only can you not stop us from doing this, but we're going to rub your noses in the fact that we're stealing this election. So you don't even bother to seriously contest the next one, because 2024, 2028, 2032, they're all over. They're already all over. We won. We've got the ballots counted already. So sit down, shut up, and enjoy your ration of unity. And the other thing about the blatancy of it is, believe it or not, related to Stalin's photoshops. It wasn't called Photoshop back then, but once a party member was declared an unperson, it was never actually declared, but pages would be carefully removed from the Soviet encyclopedias and photographs of the unperson standing next to Stalin would be
Nikolai
altered.
Yezhov.
Yeah, so that person was just gone from the photo. And you can look up examples of these online. There are countless numbers of them. And the thing is, these photoshops, if that's what we're going to call them for easy shorthand, were not actually very well done. And that was a part of the message. And the message wasn't going out to the proletariat. The message was going up to the mid and high level party members. We can erase you.
That is profound.
Well,
that's a profound observation.
They can erase your ballots. Welcome to the future, comrades. It's glorious. And that is your members only. No, it's not members only anymore. I'm so used to saying that. That is your lightning round for this week, brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. If you're not a member, become one today. We need you on board to get this message out. Go to BillWhittle.com, hit the join button. And if you don't want to join on a monthly or an annual basis, you can make a one-time donation. It would really help us out. To really appreciate it. So thank you so much in advance. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.